Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi along with Jenny and Carol Hughes inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence and just leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right
That's
into the
so
screen.
Gross.
I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into... something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone.
What? You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who made that joke.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, there's no guide on how to deal with a demonic spirit. Often these dark forces will not feel dark and evil at all, only to reveal their true intent once trust has been gained. Today we hear a shocking story of a man dealing with one such demonic spirit.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really want to support the show, become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up. $5 a month gets you access to bonus episodes every single week. You also get access to advanced episodes, which are commercial free, given to you again weeks before they go to the public, and also advanced ticket sale options, all sorts of extras for you. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all of that. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's our first time, you and me, in this studio.
Yeah.
So I've got my hand over here on the mixing board. I could have made a really long pause there, but like, I got my hand over here and then wait for people to insert their assumptions.
Yeah.
On the mixing board, but that's where it is. But I think I got everything set up in here really kind of painlessly the other day.
Yeah. You had it going pretty quick.
Yeah. And look at this. This is the first time you're even on this mic. We didn't even test the mic. I put it over where you sit and I thought, well, everything looks right, but we'll see.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds normal to me. So there you go. I have so many like labels on all the cords now. It's like Jen's mic. This goes here. That goes there. And so there you go.
That's good.
So we're here, and I was a little graveyard right behind you, right outside of the window. Got it all set up for Halloween the other day, which is really, it's funny. We got here to our new place, and our moving truck was not arriving till the next day. So we had kind of a full day of, we unboxed things that we had brought ourselves, and then we're kind of, what do we do? So it's like, well, let's decorate for Halloween.
Yeah.
So we ran out and got a bunch of stuff for the yard and 12 gravestones, got them all put in there. I got like a nice little fence. I put pictures up on Facebook because they're recording this in October. I know you're hearing this like mid-November, but the little fence, cobwebs, skeletons, it's great.
Now you have to share that we couldn't do this at the last house.
No, otherwise I would have been doing this forever.
Right, but. And you've been wanting to do this forever. So I just let you go gangbusters, go big and do whatever you want.
And my people, I think I kind of outdid this portion of the neighborhood. Other portions have outdone me.
Oh, yeah.
But our block, I think I have the biggest one going on. And then I saw some of our other neighbors suddenly that night are adding to their Halloween decor as if to compete.
I don't know that it's a competition so much as it's you pushed the envelope to where they're like, okay, we can get away with that much more. Let's go do that much more.
I like
more.
That. And I'm not up for the competition. I'm just like, this is great. Let's all raise the bar and keep making it bigger and better. So that was really fun. And then a giant storm came through and there's 4 gravestones left.
And you had 12 out there. It was so sad.
The fence was knocked down. The fence is all there, thank goodness, because I really like the fence. I'd have been really sad if that was like missing. But the fence is there. I had to put part of it back up. But there's 4 gravestones left and they are styrofoam, but God knows where the hell they went.
But we're so lucky because a lot of the houses in here had trees fall on the houses and go through the roofs and everything.
I really kind of felt like an ass because our neighbor across the street, he came over and he didn't have any damage either.
Right.
So we're kind of lucky in this little area. But he just is coming out. It's the first time he's introducing himself to me and I'm out there like, my graveyard is missing. And like, this is like my big grievance. And he had just come back from the airport. So he'd seen, he just came back from seeing everything from the full, you know, then he's like, yeah, he's like, there's a house down there with 2 trees on it. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like sitting here complaining about my, you know, $20 worth of gravestones that are missing.
But we hadn't ventured out. We didn't know how bad it was.
No, I had no idea. After that, I was like, oh God, we really were lucky that that's all we have for damage. But yeah, oh my God, going through this area here, it was like, I've never seen that much destruction up close from a storm. I've never seen a path where a tornado wiped the houses out clear cold. Now, this wasn't that, but it was, you know, the trees were pretty well damaged, giant ones.
Yeah.
And a lot of roofs missing, storefronts gone. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah. And you know, you lived in Kansas 10 years. I'd lived there 25 years. And, you know, of course, we're very familiar with what tornadoes can do, but I'd never seen that kind of damage up close personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still out assessing whether or not it was a tornado or straight line wind. So the jury's still out. It doesn't really matter at this point. It's just amazing the kind of stuff that it can do, that weather can do.
Yeah.
And one house will be fine. The next house has trees on it.
That's the crazy thing, because once you get over the hill and down our neighborhood, it's like, oh my God, then you start seeing everything. But our little kind of cul-de-sac area here, it's not really cul-de-sac, our little lane, we did okay. But the rest, like, oh my goodness, there's some serious, serious damage. So yeah, that was our first night in the house. It was scary. It was, we were about 12:30. All of a sudden the tornado sirens are going off.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a storm shelter set up yet. So we went down to the crawl space and I didn't say anything as it was going on. It's really kind of the first time we're talking about this.
Yeah.
But the, when we were down there and the wind started going, that just kind of solid paced wind, what were you thinking?
That this was more than straight line winds.
Really?
Yeah. Cause you could hear the groan, you could hear the rumble and they were, you know, they were holding it together on the TV station, because we could get it on our, what were you watching it on your phone or your iPad or something. And they were holding it together knowing it was all heading straight towards them, but they were kind of getting a little excited even for a professional meteorologist. So I was listening to it and, you know, granted we had not ridden out a storm down there before, so I wasn't real sure what it was going to sound like, but to me, I've heard that groan before. And I was just like hanging on to the kids, because I was like, I don't know what's about to give.
Yeah.
But you know, they're both freaking out, so you go into mom mode and you just, your concern is to keep the kids calm, you know. But
and Harper's meditating. She's seven.
A child. She's such a nut.
She literally was sitting on your lap, cross-legged, with her hands out in a meditational pose.
Yeah, and she sat there silently in my lap doing that, and it's what got her through.
The whole time that wind was, because all of a sudden, harsh, just solid wind, mm-hmm. and that noise, and then stopped.
Yeah.
And she was just keeping herself. It's like, you're amazing.
Her calming skills are really cool.
Yeah, I didn't know how she knows to do that or does it, but it was like, oh my God. So,
but everybody around here says that's like the worst storm in 15 years. So it's like, okay, well, we got that out of the way and we'll have regular storms. And it's not that different climate wise than, you know, Branson, obviously, because we're not that far. But that was a pretty rough one.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
And our first night here. And then we had no power for a day. We're lucky because there are still about 8,000 people without power as we're doing this. I thought our whole week was going to be shot for recording because I thought we're not going to have power until like Friday, but we're here. Here you go.
So let's do something else that's scary.
Ghost stories.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, I am a 35-year-old male, live in Columbia, Missouri. I do not want to go public with the story, but I feel like people need to know the truth about real-life hauntings. I wanted to keep my identity safe, and no, I'm not looking for fame or fortune, but to simply reveal my story. It started when my ex-wife and I were going through a separation, and I was living in a local hotel. I'd have my daughter on the weekends, including my stepdaughter, and it started to when I and my daughter were laying down to take a nap. She woke up, startled, and started pointing around the room, which I have recorded. Asking her what was wrong, she repeatedly told me, a ghost. I simply ignored it, thinking it was just a child's imagination, but I was soon to find out that it was a reality. When I reviewed my recording and shared it with her mother, I noticed there were white orbs that were showing up around my child where she was walking and pointing in the room. It disturbed me, so I did some research online about children seeing spirits and how it could possibly be angels. So I paid it no mind until I started experiencing paranormal activity that was of the negative. At first, I witnessed faces in my bathroom mirror. I also captured on camera after that high activity was happening all around me, including seeing white orbs around the room. I never truly believed in this stuff before until I experienced it. A demonic face that appeared in front of me. It was a face of a white male that had a smile that was so sinister. Also, continuous knocking on my door with nobody there behind the door. The more and more I was disturbed by this happening, I was experiencing demonic faces and apparitions. It was a very lonely time in my life since I and my ex-wife were separated and filing for divorce. I thought it was my imagination of just being lonely, but the activity grew stronger, and I had to face the truth that this was really happening to me. The night that it scared and frightened me the most is when I started seeing waves in my room that looked like heat waves that you would see outdoors. After my child turned 3 and we had her birthday party at a local kids' arcadium, I came back to the hotel room and my key card would not work. So I pressed the handle very hard and the door opened. There was a white male sitting in a chair that I'd often sit in to watch television. I thought I was entering someone else's room and I apologized, but when I realized that my belongings were around me, I knew I was in the correct room and the apparition was no longer there. It frightened me to death, so I called a girlfriend of mine and I was telling her the story about the orbs and how I've seen multiple colors and it was captured. And I was speaking to her and a loud bang came out of nowhere in my room and a huge white orb the size of a basketball went over my head. I was frightened beyond belief. The last straw was when my stepdaughter experienced it a weekend that she stayed over and told me, Daddy, there's a man in black standing behind me and it looks like it was the devil. After that weekend, I called it out and I was touched on my back and legs, which I took pictures of a scar that was scratching on my leg where I was touched. I knew I was dealing with a demonic, so I left my room with the door wide open and ran down the hall as I was outside. There were people gathered looking at me like I was insane, not knowing what was happening. I took a cross that I carry with me very often and was holding it in my hand, demanding it to leave and not to follow me. I saw the same face coming out of the door like a projector screen to the same face that I've seen before, but outside of the hotel walls, I ran and I could see the legs following me. I was continuing to run away from this figure. I called my aunt, frightened, telling her that there was something that was chasing me, and I hung up the phone before we could finish the conversation because I noticed that there were several spirits looking out the hotel windows at me, and I could not believe my eyes. I went to my car and drove off the next day. I called a local pastor and asked him if he could come to the hotel room to pray. He did, with another fellow member. We prayed and held hands, and the oxygen in the room seemed to come back, and I felt so light and peaceful. I felt like I was finally free from this demonic host. The experience was great for a couple of weeks, and then the experiences of banging noises and voices in my ear when I was lying in bed at about 3 a.m. were getting more loud and fierce. Thank God that I had a close friend that I could move in with. I could not take any longer. I even left many belongings in the room, including giving a lot of my belongings to residents who were living in that hotel. I can explain more of the story in detail if you'd like to speak to me. This is my real ghost story. Unfortunately, I'll have to send you pictures through another way because I'm having problems sending any pictures on my cell phone right now for some reason.
What's hard to figure out about this story is if this is something that latched on to him because of what he was going through, or if this was something already at the hotel, since he was living there kind of a, you know, few weeks at least in transition. You know, it's hard to know if it was something that was going to go with him or not. But thankfully, it sounds like it's better now that he's moved out.
Yeah, I would assume that the story would have continued after it had it continued to follow him. Mm-hmm. It does sound like it ended there at the hotel. I wonder if it's something that was in the hotel that does haunt the hotel, but simply chose him because of the stress that he was under.
Yeah.
And what was going on in his situation. And now it simply just kind of waits and lingers for the next individual to target who comes through those doors. That's why you never stay in creepy old hotels.
That's not true.
That's the sort of shit that goes down. It makes me, you know, there's so many old hotels. In my mind, you know, when you tell a story, you almost kind of paint a picture of it. And oftentimes the picture you paint is something of a building or a place that you know or you've experienced. Mm-hmm. So a picture I paint is of this old hotel that was kitty corner to where I lived in Wausau. Mm-hmm. And it was this old giant, you know, Walter Hotel. And it had been turned into apartments, and not the greatest of apartments either, but all of the beautiful ornate woodwork and everything is still there. It looked like an abandoned Titanic that had been raised from the depths of the ocean, essentially. And It makes you think of all the history and the stories there. I could totally see that place being haunted. I can't say I've ever heard any stories specifically of that place, which shocked me. Mm-hmm. But unless they were just really keeping it quiet back then, I don't know if there is today, but it's a great Chinese restaurant in there that's still in existence, I found out. But strawberry chicken.
Okay.
Have you ever had strawberry chicken?
I've had salads that had strawberries and chicken together on it, but not like a strawberry chicken.
This is a warm dish. Chinese. It was like their specialty.
I think orange chicken or lemon chicken would be my preference.
I've never seen strawberry chicken since. It's really good.
Really?
I don't know if there's any recipes for, I've never really looked this up. I don't know. It's just kind of coming to me as we're talking. But I remember hearing about like strawberry chicken. What the hell is that? That just sounds bizarre. But it's almost like a really rich, it's a darker sauce. And if I remember right, I think there's like cashews mixed in there. So picture kind of like cashew chicken, but a little bit sweeter. It's not like orange chicken sweet.
Okay.
But there's that kind of savoriness of the strawberries in there with the cashew. I think it's cashew. And then it's not fried chicken, but it's in there with like, there's some vegetables and it's a gooey dish, you know, but it's an odd one.
Okay.
But it was really good. I haven't had it in 20 some years.
I've never heard of that.
Strawberry chicken from that China. It was good. I looked that up. I want to try and make that. Let's see if I can come up with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, hey guys, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I've been listening to the past few months. I have a few stories to tell you about my father, Donald, who seems to be the one person in our family that our relatives have passed on and have figured out how to communicate with. Originally from Wareham, Massachusetts, a small town near Cape Cod, my parents left Massachusetts to come to California, where my brother and I were raised.
right after my parents moved to California. My father's grandmother passed away. It was a tough loss for him because they had a connection like no other. They were both very talented artists and just seemed to connect on a deeper level than she did with any other grandchildren. I never got a chance to meet her, but I do have some of her hand-printed mugs in my home. I'm not sure if he felt a sense of her presence when she initially passed away, but now he believes she is one of many of his guardian angels. About 2 years ago, her daughter Claire, my dad's aunt, passed away after contracting pneumonia. Again, my father seemed to have a deep connection to her that was completely different than anything else that she had had with other nieces and nephews. She'd never denied anyone that my dad was, in fact, her favorite nephew. And most recently, in my mother's side of the family, my great-grandmother Lorraine passed away at the age of 99. She was around my entire life. I'm 21 now. So it was a hard loss for my family and me. Obviously, all of us knew that when you get to be that old, death can happen at any time. But it was still such a difficult time. Again, for some reason, even though she was not my father's biological grandmother, they still had such a strong connection, and she loved my dad very much. Even after my parents separated, she'd ask about him constantly, and even want us to celebrate his birthday along with her because they were only a few days apart. She passed in February, and ever since then, my dad seems to be having more intense experiences and feelings than usual. For some years, my father seems to always look at the clock when numbers are in exact threes and fours, for example, 11-11, 1-11, 2-22, 4-44, etc. But recently, he's seeing these numbers every single day, multiple times a day. We've done our own research, and we do know that these numbers have something to do with guardian angels. What I'm wondering is if this is my great-grandmother Lorraine trying to tell us that she has made it to the other side and she can now communicate with us. I know that she would be able to communicate through my father because he's so sensitive to these numbers, or signs, if you will. I want to know if you guys ever have had other stories where people experience these types of signs or communications with guardian angels, and if you know what certain number sequences mean. My father has been very anxious to know later if his grandmother, his aunt, or my great-grandmother have been trying to reach him. I know he misses them very much, and it would mean the world for him to know. We're considering seeing a medium to see if they can give us some answers. Do you guys think it'd be worth it? Again, I love your show, and I know people like my father having an outlet like this means a lot. He's had other experiences, and I'd love to write in about those as well. Thanks, and all the best.
I don't know much about, was it numerology? Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, supposedly 13 is supposed to be an unlucky number. That's mm-hmm. about all I know. But I would imagine that can be used as a sign just like anything else. You know, if that's something that can have some significance to the father in the story, then that's something that, you know, could be taken as a sign. It's interesting that the relatives keep reaching out just to the one person.
Mm-hmm. He made one heck of an impact, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you know, some people are just like that, though. Some people just kind of have that personality that others gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, that, you know, and you know, I, for some reason that happens. But it's the numerology thing. It seems to be a sign. It's hard to know, and I'm not an expert in it at all. But I know like certain things have certain meanings. It's an interesting thing sometimes too, though, when a number is presented to you as having some sort of meaning. I find it stands out a lot more than it did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say you didn't come across it that often in the past. It just never meant anything to you in the past. And then it seems to be like, oh my gosh, look at that. Most commonly would be looking at a clock. That's probably the place most of us see numbers more than any other place throughout our day at random times, is glancing at the clock. Like, oh my God. For example, I remember vividly after 9/11, constantly catching the clock at 9/11.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, why am I always looking at the clock at 9/11? And I don't, in reality, know that I really was. Mm-hmm. It's just suddenly that had a lot more meaning to it than other times. You know, there's a lot of talk about the 3 a.m. thing in our show, with it being a dark hour, whatever you want to call it. And you know, I'm not discounting that. It started standing out to me a lot more when I woke up at 3 a.m. after doing the show than it had in the past. But I think that's just how I am. I think I wake up roughly X amount of hours after I fall asleep and use the bathroom. And it always just kind of happens to be about 3 a.m. But I think my bladder is more in control of that than it is demons.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing, numerology. I think there's something to it. But I think a lot of times we also have to take a look at the logical with it, too. Mm-hmm. And how our brains work and how our brains function to recognize familiar times and places and things once a meaning has been assigned to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that that's the case in here. It's just kind of an observation on numerology.
That's true.
So it's a lot of, you want to look at some really crazy numerology shit? Look at all the weird numerology shit surrounding Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
There is all sorts of weird shit. And it goes to the conspiracy theories of is he alive and all that stuff. I was really interested in that back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where it really, like, there was a lot of convincing evidence. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I do find them interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more interested in the psychology of it than anything else. But there are so many weird things with him. That coincided with his death, his time of death, the day of his death, and then a lot of shit that was already out there in the media that, like, already existed. It wasn't like, oh, and now they're going to release this a couple months after he's dead. And look at these numbers. It just happens to be, you know, it's time of death. Like, yeah, you can manufacture that. But if you went through, like, half of the shit it was done publicly, there's certain that one of them that stands out to me, I believe there's something with, like, the numbers in one of the movies he was in, like his prison number. It's been so many years since I read all this stuff, but there were so many weird coincidences number wise that were like, that's just so, it was almost, and he always talked so much about death and about his upcoming death and foretelling of it. The music video that was released right after he died that he stars in. It wasn't like we made this video after. He dies in the video. He gets shot outside of a club. You know, there were so many things that really you could, of all the conspiracy theory things that are out there about people faking their death. I, for a while, honestly, from 96 to, I don't know, probably like, I think, I don't know if it was like 20, I don't know. It was early 2000s. There was a theory that he was going to come back. And it was when the craziest giant stunt in the world. And he never came back. But I was really thinking, this may happen. There's a good chance that this one could legitimately be the conspiracy theory that is going to happen because of all of the evidence that point to there being something with it. Turns out, I just think he had a very big preoccupation with death. Did a lot with it, and there's a crazy amount of coincidences that all coincided with it. But it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one to read about, whether you like his music or not. It's just a really interesting story.
Yeah,
to dig into to go, wow, that really is weird. Mm-hmm. So anyway, 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Headline. Share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to this one. It says, and a couple others, a couple of my other stories and things that I've submitted. I've talked about things that have happened to me pretty much, if I can remember, that was something to do with the paranormal. When I was a child, I was told not to let my imagination run away with me, that I needed to stop playing with my imaginary friends, and I shouldn't tell stories that weren't true. I'm not sure how a grown see-through man in your closet talking to you, smile and simply vanish isn't true, but you get the gist. As a teen, I was called a flake, told not to make up lies, and invariably learned to keep my experiences to myself. As I grew into an adult, I realized that these occurrences are not and were not my imagination. I've also learned that there's a select few that I can share these occurrences with, and this show seems to be one of them. One of the many occurrences that keep coming to mind happened when I was about 16. My mother's dad and the very best grandpa a girl could hope for had a stroke. He was working hard his entire life, woke up one morning, could not vocalize his thoughts, took him to the ER, they ran tests and determined he had a major stroke. He was hospitalized for about 3 weeks. During that time, he continued to have mini strokes, they called them. I was devastated. Grandpa was my rock, my anchor, and I loved him dearly. We were nearly inseparable as I grew up. I was his angel and him my hero. We tried to bring him home with us after he left the hospital, but unfortunately, the medical care was required soon, got ahead of us, and we realized that he would need around-the-clock assistance. He was then admitted to a nursing facility. Grandpa had gone into his own world. He did not recognize any of us, nor did he seem to have any idea of what was happening around him. My mom had an extremely difficult time visiting him because, well, as I had, he was a rock of stability before this happened. I continued to visit him regularly. I was determined that one day he would simply snap out of it and be the same person he'd always been. After visiting many months and seeing no change, I became angry and depressed because all my dreams for him had not happened. We, my mom, my sister, and I were living in an upstairs duplex apartment, the south area of our town. I went home on the Saturday, stomped up the stairs, mad at the world, and determined that everything in life was horrible. I went into my room, closed the door, flopped to my bed, grabbing my book and flipping on the stereo. I was the only one home at the time, so I thought I would crank the music up and sing so loud I could get some of my frustrations out. I had my paperback book open in my hands, reading and singing, and all of a sudden my book was knocked out of my hand and sent flying across the room. I didn't drop it. It went sailing. I sat there for a minute, staring at the place where the book landed, in awe and angry still. I got up, picked up the book, and went back to bed. As I sat down, my stereo turned off. I tried to turn it back on, but it would not work. I checked the lights to see if a fuse had blown or something, but the only thing not working was the stereo. Okay, I decided I would read without the music. I sat on my bed and began reading. I looked up as I heard a creak near the door, like a floorboard creaking when you walk across. There was a woman with short, curly, dark hair, beautiful, light olive complexion, a bit on the full figure side, smiling at me. She looked very familiar, yet I was not sure who she was. I sat there, not able to speak, not knowing what to do. She looked at me and said, "Your grandpa did not mean for any of this to happen. He only wanted to work, stay happy, and care about his grandbabies. This was an unfortunate incident, and there is nothing that can be done and nothing to be angry about. He's still around because his will does not allow him to do otherwise. So knock it off, tell him you love him, and get on with your life." She smiled again at me. I looked down to the ground, then back up at the woman, ready to ask who she was and how did she know so much about my family, and she was gone. The door had not opened. There was no other way in or out of the room. She was simply gone. My stereo resumed playing. All the rest of that day and Sunday, I thought about what she had said, mulling it over in my mind. As I went through the hallway Sunday evening, I looked up at some family portraits on the wall, and there was a lovely picture of my Aunt Linda in her younger years as a young woman. She'd passed on in childbirth when I was 7 years old. Aunt Linda, as a young woman, was the woman that had chastised me lovingly in my room the day before. I did try to take her advice to heart. Grandpa did not recover. He carried on for another couple of years before he was at peace and joined the rest of his family. I continued to visit him regularly, and my love and respect for him never faltered and never will.
That's interesting that there was the ghostly connection even before the grandfather passed, you know, coming to convey his message, even though he was still alive but couldn't convey it himself.
Yeah, that is interesting and very, you know, blunt about it. Like, hey, get your shit together.
Right.
I wonder how this story would happen if it had been a different personality that received it. like a snowflake personality where it's like, stop being so mean to me. It's like they completely miss the point of the message. They just take it as a personal narcissistic attack where it's like, why did you have to speak in that tone?
Right.
It's like, they're dead. They're coming to give you this message. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily they got it.
Yeah.
So, but I could see that going a different way.
Yeah.
Which is the whole letter is about how mean the ghost was to them.
That's true.
But I like the bluntness of the dead aunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, look, it doesn't be angry. They can't help it. Just deal with it. You know, just love them. That's all. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm looking out the window and there was just a little leaf tornado that was going around. I always loved those when I was a kid. I always wanted to try and get in the middle of one, you know, where, you know, where they kind of get going in these little twisters.
Yeah.
Never had a chance to do it. Did you ever play in leaf tornadoes? Did you ever get close to one? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. No, I never really got into playing with one.
I was always also concerned that it was going to develop into a real tornado. Oh. As well. But that never really happened. So. There you go. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to become an extra podcast person. Brand new episodes every single week. Bonus episodes for you. Sign up. ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.